The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark 1, 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. We normally don't connect urgency and epiphany, do we? The love and kindness of our God and Savior appearing seems like a culmination, an end. But the appearance of other things leads to urgency. A high fever leads to urgent care. A bomb appearing leads to a bomb squad arriving urgently. A movie star appearing leads to the urgency of people running together. We don't link urgency to epiphany because we think it's about someone else. We're not the ones with the high fever. We're not the ones who need the bomb squad. We're not the one who has seen a star. Let's see if I can get you from epiphany to urgency by putting you in the picture. Look at the lengths that God goes to get the gospel to Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, to reach the people who would one day destroy northern Israel. We read, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Read the book of Jonah. You know all that is behind that phrase? There's the Lord hurling a storm at the ship Jonah is on. There's Jonah being thrown overboard. There's God appointing the great fish to swallow him. And there's God appointing that same great fish to spit Jonah back out. Do you know what is behind Jesus going into Galilee proclaiming that the time of the gospel, the kingdom, and for repenting and believing has come? Your insert has, after John was put in prison. But it's really the Greek word betrayed. John was betrayed just like Jesus would be. And that happens to him by the ruler of Galilee. Yet where does Jesus go preaching the good news? To Galilee. And while John proclaimed the word that the kingdom was here, Jesus is the word made flesh. So badly does God want to reach Galilee with the gospel that he comes personally. But there's more. Jesus recruits four times as many to go fishing for believers in the unfaithful pond of Galilee. But you're not Ninevites. You're not Galileans. And you don't see this as about you, except as you've been told from Sunday school on. You're Simon, Andrew, James, and John. You are fishers of men. But what if? Just what if? What if, since not one of you has been called to leave family, home, and business to preach the gospel, what if you are the Ninevites and the Galileans? What if Epiphany is about the goodness and love of God the Savior appearing to save little old you? What if God spared no expense, left nothing to chance, did what no man ever dared to do, to reach you in your fears, touch you in your loneliness, rescue you from your holiness? Hey, I'm just saying. You hear these texts differently if you see yourself as the one God is looking to reach, to save, to help, don't you? There's a certain amount of urgency in Epiphany if it's about God appearing to save me. Look at the lengths God goes to send out the good news of the gospel to reach you, and look at what depths of mercy, grace, and love must be behind such great lengths. To the Assyrians who started the path towards crucifying people with their barbaric way of impaling their enemies without killing them, to the Assyrians who were the terrorists of their day, to the Assyrians who were persecuting the church of God, Jonah is sent with the message that it's not too late. You're not too far gone to repent. You're not so lost as not to be found by the gospel. To the Galileans, who the Bible describes as people sitting in great darkness and in the land of the shadow of death, to the apostatized church comes God in person proclaiming, "My kingdom is here. You can repent and believe the good news." Each time the insert translates good news, it's really translating the Greek word gospel. But the gospel is more than generic good news. It's specifically the good news of a victory. God's light has come into their dark world in Jesus and scattered the darkness. God's life in Jesus has come to their land of death and swallowed it. You can probably see the depths of God's mercy, grace, and love towards Ninevites and Galileans, but can you see these towards you? If not, there's going to be no urgency to Epiphany. The Ninevites and the Galileans have long passed away into history, and there's no urgency with history. In fact, there's a certain dryness, staleness, and dustiness hanging over history. But what if Epiphany's about you? About you today, about your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, and your ever-present sinfulness that the best you can do is tame into a pet. But you know that sinfulness remains a wild animal that can turn from pet into beast in a horrible, unexpected instant. And you know that by treating it as a pet, you have really made matters worse. Well, what if Epiphany is about that today? Though I haven't been swallowed by or spit out by a great fish, what if God has sent me here to tell you it's not too late? No matter what you've done or failed to do, it's not too late to turn from that sin before that beast devours you. What if Jesus has so much mercy, so much grace, so much love for just you that he sent me to cast his gospel net here today just to catch you? What if Jesus knows exactly what bait will lure you to swallow repentance of your sins and faith in his forgiveness and has sent me with the bait to cast it before you? Oh, I know how it is. I've fished enough to know that when you have a fish on the line, it fights and struggles and it runs in terror, trying everything in its power to get free because it knows it's being reeled in to die. And I'm not going to lie to you. That happens to those caught by Jesus. Their old Adam, their sinful nature, the only part of them that feels alive, dies. But I'm like a fisherman fishing for bass where a high tide has brought in too much salt water into the fresh. I'm catching bass here to get them out of the salt water where they will surely die, to release them into the fresh where they will really live. I'm fishing today with the good news that regardless of what law you hear accusing you, feel convicting you, or fear sentencing you to a lifetime of guilt and an eternity in hell, Jesus has come and kept that law in your place. He stood in your shoes, and then at that moment that you failed to do the right thing or brazenly did the wrong, Jesus stood firm. Jesus stood holy. Jesus kept that law. If you want to spend the rest of your life under a law that Jesus has removed from hanging over your head, then go ahead and do it. But God doesn't want that. If he did, he would not have sent Jesus. I'm fishing today with the gospel that God the Father has more love for you than he does for his own son. Not only the law's requirements had to be kept, but all of its punishments, all of its pain, all of its guilt, all of its fear, all of its shame. God chose you over Jesus. God sent Jesus to the cross, not you. God abandoned Jesus to all the demons of hell, not you. You're like a royal son or daughter of a great king. Your personage is too noble to feel the lash, even when you do wrong. So they get a whipping boy in your place. You lie, you steal, you lust, you don't believe, you curse, you don't hear the word, and Jesus is whipped and beaten, not you. Hey, quit hanging your heads. This isn't law. This is the gospel. God the Father didn't whip his only son so you could feel bad about it, but so you could believe you won't be. So you can believe that you have the love God's only God-begotten son has claimed to. To see the urgency of Epiphany, look at the lengths God goes to send you the gospel. See what depths of mercy, grace, and love must be behind such great lengths. And see what a short length of time there is in matters of repentance and faith. Nineveh was given 40 days. I guarantee you, 40 days from now, someone, somewhere will die and face the judgment who will have heard the Jonah that God went to such great lengths to send them to warn them of impending judgment. They didn't put on sackcloth and ashes or the clean garments of Jesus' holiness. No, they put on their excuses for doing wrong and their promises to do better, and that's all that they're going to have between them and the judgment. Look at the epistle. Paul declared about 1,960 years ago, the time is short. In limitless eternity, any amount of time is short. As we sing, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Time bears all things away and does so all the time. The question then is, what is eternally ours? Your sins, guilt, and shame, they don't have to be eternally yours. The God who stepped into time bore those away from you. His mercy, grace, and love towards you for Jesus' sake, that's eternal. The waters of this earth will burn up on the last day. The waters that baptized you will not. The words of politicians, philosophers, and scientists that people hang on to for dear life, they're going to fade as quickly as wildflowers. But the word of the Lord that absolves you never fades, but echoes into eternity. Your body and blood are aging, decaying, and dying even as we speak. But the body and blood of Jesus are eternal. The time is short for your body, but not for His, or for those who eat and drink His body and blood in faith. Jesus says to you today, the time has come. Today is the day to hear His voice and not harden your heart. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not today is the day. The goodness and love of your God and Savior appears to you today. Hear Him say, finished are all those laws that accuse you because I have kept them. See the nail holes in His hands and feet and see the spear hold in His side that proves that your debt of sin has been nailed to the cross and paid for. Touch baptismal water. Feel your eardrums vibrate to the sound of your sins being declared forgiven. Taste the bread that is His body and smell the sweet wine that is His blood. And know today is the day to repent. Today is the day to believe. There is urgency to epiphany if epiphany is about your salvation. And if you've seen that today, then you've just had an epiphany of urgency. As 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes